And we're going to go back to the Old Testament. The last time I was here, we did the offerings, if you remember, if you were here. This morning, we're going to look at the tabernacle. To introduce this subject to us, I would like you, first of all, to turn to Hebrews 10, chapter 8. Hebrews and chapter 8, and we want to begin reading at verse 3. Hebrews 8 and verse 3. Which reads, "For every priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer," this man being the Lord Jesus. "If he," that is the Lord Jesus, "were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." I'd like you to turn with me to chapter 9 and verse 11. Well, let's go to chapter 10 and then we'll come back to 9. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1 reads, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually to make the comers thereunto perfect." Now we want to go back to chapter 9 and verse 11, where we read these words, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption." And of course, the italics there are for us, and we all understand that, even though it may not have been in the original text. We're going to study the tabernacle today. And there are two things that the tabernacle is going to be for us. It is going to be an example on the one hand, and we are to understand that it is a shadow. It is an example of the heavenly thing. That's what chapter 8 and verse 5 says. That is why it was so important that Moses built it exactly the way he saw it in the mount. But this was, in fact, what he saw in the mount was that which was heavenly in origin, and the tabernacle that was going to be built by Moses was, in fact, going to be an example, an earthly example of that which is in heaven. And therefore, it was very important that Moses would build it just exactly like he thought in the mount, because it was going to be for you and I a visible example of what is heavenly. So therefore, when we look at the tabernacle, we want to see it as an example of heavenly things. And that's why it was built so exactly, and why the Lord took such great pains in all the details of it. The second thing that we learn about it, as well as the law in general, is the fact that it was a shadow. We find that in chapter 8 and verse 5. And the tabernacle was an example and shadow. And of course, the law in general was a shadow of good things to come. Now, I suppose that to understand that idea, I suppose we would have to go outside, which we're going to do in a bit, but if I was going to be on the shade side, the shadow, the shade side of a building, and the sun was coming along from this direction, if you will, and I was standing in the shade of the building on this side, and there was a corner. Now, as someone would be walking down toward the corner on the other side of the building, I couldn't see him. But the sun being at his back, the first thing I would see of the person walking would be his shadow. Now, I might be able to even recognize the person by the shadow. Not real good. And it certainly wouldn't be a clear image. And it certainly wouldn't give me all that there was, and I wouldn't go out and hug the shadow. Okay? Nor would I become enamored with the shadow. But it would say, there's someone coming, and I want to see the someone that's coming. But when he comes around the corner, now I've got the real thing. Sort of like Coke. I got the real thing. And that's what's important, is the real thing, not the shadow. Now, what the apostle is telling us here in Hebrews is that the tabernacle, in the law in general, was the shadow. It is going to give us glimpses of what is coming. Now, what was coming? What was coming was Christ. He's the real thing. And in fact, I'm not going to hug the shadow. And that, of course, in the book of Hebrews is precisely what the Jewish nation was trying to do. They were just trying to hang on to the shadows. And the apostles say, no, that was just a shadow. It was nice in its time, but it was a shadow. And what we need to do is get rid of the shadow. I mean, when we got the real thing, what's a shadow? But the shadow is going to tell us some things about He who is coming. So when we look at the shadow, we want to see if we can recognize the real thing. So when I look at the tabernacle, it isn't just the tabernacle in the wilderness, a building out there in the wilderness, a movable tent, if you will, out in the wilderness. It is, in fact, a shadow of Christ who is going to come. Now, it isn't Christ, and we're not going to see Him exactly, but there's going to be things there that we can see of Christ. And that's what makes the tabernacle so important, because in fact, it is not only the shadow, but it is the visible representation of the heavenly thing. And Christ is that good heavenly thing that was coming. And so when I look at the example, the visible, if you will, the visual aid of the Old Testament tabernacle, I am going to see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to help me in a visible, concrete, physical way to look at and appreciate the Lord Jesus. So today we're going to look at a visual representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we don't want to get caught up in the physical here, do we? I mean, we need to understand the physical and look at it and gain what we can from it. But the real thing that we want to learn today is thing we want to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the great truths of Scripture is the fact that God has always wanted to dwell in the midst of His people. That's what the tabernacle was all about. It was going to give God the opportunity of dwelling in the midst of His people. He's always wanted to do that. In fact, later on, after the tabernacle and after the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, Himself came and tabernacled amongst us, so that He could reveal the Father to us. Here is the fullness of the revelation of God, is in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came in the flesh, if you will, so that we could in fact grasp the heavenly thing, even the Father, who is invisible. And so Jesus Christ became the fullness of the revelation of God. In fact, even fuller, obviously much more fuller than the Old Testament tabernacle. Now we have to carry this a little bit further because Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven, hasn't he? And he still wants to dwell in the midst of his people, doesn't he? And that's what's so important for you and I to understand, because now he has taken up residence. He dwells in the midst of his people because he dwells personally in each and every one of us as believers. We are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? And that puts a great responsibility upon me as an individual to, in fact, not do anything to this old body that would desecrate the temple of God. That's an individual aspect. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we discover that the local church is the temple of God. And therefore, he says, that we must be very careful the kinds of materials we use in the building of that church, and we must be careful not to defile the church of God, because it is the temple of God. And God will not take kindly to those who would defile his temple. So therefore, the local church needs to understand that they are the temple of God. Now, of course, in a wider, broader, invisible, really, way, he is also the church of God, which is his body, Ephesians chapter 2 and 21. When we're dealing with every believer from Pentecost to the rapture, is part of the body of Christ, and it, in its totality, is in fact the temple of God. And so therefore, we have these three aspects, if you will, of the temple of God in the New Testament. Old Testament was the tabernacle, later on the temple. In the Gospels, it was Christ himself. In the New Testament epistles, in a very special way, it is the church of God, whether seen in its aggregate whole, whether it's seen in the visible representation in the local church, or whether it's seen individually in our bodies as individual persons. But eventually, this is going to give way, isn't it? And when we get to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, we discover that, behold, it says in Revelation chapter 21 and 3, the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, is with men. And the final aspect of this is that eternally God will be able to dwell in the midst of his redeemed people in a wonderful city called the New Jerusalem. And that is the temple of God. Well, we don't need a temple anymore, does it? It's what it says in Revelation 21, because he is in its midst, and it is in its all sin and all of that has been gone away. So we see this idea that God has always wanted to dwell with his people. And in reality, in the future, that is the goal, that he dwells in the midst of his redeemed people. And so it is the tabernacle, which is the Old Testament physical, visible representation of that. Now, how can a holy God dwell with sinful people? That's the question, isn't it? And conversely, that question is, how can a sinful people approach a holy God? The answer lies in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the answer to those questions. There is a way in which God can dwell in the midst of his people. There is a way in which a sinful people can approach their God. The answer is the tabernacle. And that is what we need to see in the tabernacle. It is the way in which we can approach God. Now, there is only one approach to God, isn't there? There is only one way. And so whether we're dealing with the Old Testament tabernacle, or whether we're dealing with New Testament gospel, whether we're dealing with the old or whether we're dealing with the new, the approach to God is still the same way. And in fact, the principles that lie in the tabernacle will apply to you and I today as we are the temple of God. And so the tabernacle really becomes a very vital subject for us to understand. Now, what we are going to do in this first session, that's by way of interdiction, what we are going to do in this first session is something I hope that will give you an impression of what the tabernacle of the Old Testament looked like. Now, I've got overhead projector here, and we're going to see some on the overhead, but I thought it would be fun. Okay? I enjoy having fun while we're doing this. I thought it would be fun to actually go out in the lawn, since I remembered that we have a great big lawn out here. And in fact, it sort of goes east to west, doesn't it? East is that way and west is this way. And the tabernacle was built so that it faced the east. Okay, so the back of the tabernacle was in the west, the sides were north and south, and the front was east. Okay, and so what we want to do is we're going to go out and we are going to use all of you, or the majority of you, as volunteers, and we are going to take a look at what the size, the physical size of the tabernacle. We're going to draw it by you and I out in the lawn. And so I've never tried this before, but I've always been known to try new things. I mean, hey, you know, I mean, come on, if you don't try something, if you don't fail, you never succeed, whatever. So the bottom line, we're going to go out here. I think I've got this figured out. So what I want you to do, just like you did when you were in grade school, and the teacher would say, okay, children, I want you to go outside and I want you to line up. Okay, and that's just exactly what I want you to do. I want you to line up along the driveway out here, and we're going to see if we can see what the tabernacle looked like in its physical ramifications. Once we see the physical, then we'll come back in here and we'll talk about it. Okay, let's go out and see if we can draw the tabernacle on the ground out there. Okay, we're all out. Okay, everybody's out. Okay, right there. All right. I kept it on. I'm hoping we're not more than 300 feet. Yeah, right. Okay, very first thing I need is two volunteers. So what I'm going to do is take the first Don and the lady at the end. Come here. See, the volunteers are going to be quick. Okay, first of all, the 150 foot. Okay, Don, stand about right here.
Uh-huh. She's going to be
at
the end.
No, she's going to be that way.
Yeah, I'm going to get her in.
Do the other end.
All I'm going to do is find the ends of this thing.
I reckon have it. There it is.
There it is. There's one end.
Okay, you take the other end and see if you'll find an end. So walk that away.
How about I go that way?
Okay. All right. All right, we're going to build a temple here. All right. Okay. Keep going, Don. Yeah, you're gonna be right here. You wanna hold this one too? That's okay, we'll get it. We got it, we got enough Bob Boy Scouts here to figure this. Keep going.
Keep going into the water. Did you bring your boots?
Okay, we'll get this the right perspective here. Yeah, that's okay. We'll use the fire. All right, that's good. Oh, get back here. Okay, we're going to have to use the parking lot. All right, you stand right here. Okay, now that's
And that's the courtyard. We're dealing with the courtyard here. It was 150 feet long. So it would have been, now that string is 150 feet, give or take an inch or two. since I'm not actually dealing with the tabernacle, I can be an inch off. So we have this lady here, all the way down there is 150 feet. Now I need one more volunteer. Mandy, come here. Give me the 75 footer. Okay. Now we're going to give this lady, what is your name? What?
Laura.
Laura, okay. We're going to give you one of the ends here. If we can find an end here, I want you to take it out. Okay, you grab that and go. You go grab that and go.
Now we know. Where's my Boy Scout? I'm here, man.
All right, we need you.
All right, keep going. Oh,
there we go. Where's the end at? The end right there? There's the end right there.
Okay. Okay, that's Mandy's got one end. Laura's going to have the other end. Okay. These are the two longest pieces, obviously, and they're the ones that are going to give us the most trouble. Once we get this, we get a whole lot shorter pieces.
That's all right. It's longer than it is wide, right?
Yeah, and it's a 75.
There's a telephone.
Can you hear me down there?
How do you like to have been Moses trying to talk to everybody?
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited here.
We're almost there.
Oh, there's the end. You got the end right there.
Okay.
How are
we
looking?
Good enough. Super. We got it.
Bad knot.
We're going to have him to be the top of it.
I'm doing my little theater with him, actually.
I are?
So.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Everybody knows.
Now we all know.
Let's in the back. Can't say you were talking downstairs. Oh, I got one right here. What's that? Don't let it get you. Say no to the mask.
Just say no. Yeah. What you got here? A 45 footer? Where's the 30 footer? Yeah. We're going to unwrap a 30-foot length of cord. They're going to go down there, two people, two volunteers, Give me two volunteers, two people. Come out here. Okay, we got two people. And I want you to stand sort of midway between Stephanie and Don. As soon as you get a 30-footer here. You gotta get a string. They're undoing the string for you here. You see, unless you try to do something, you never know what you've done wrong. I know how to do this the next time. I told you that, you know, it was the first. All right? Okay, you two gentlemen, go down and stand equidistant in the middle between Don and Stephanie. In the tabernacle and in all of Scripture, there is only one way to approach God. One must come in the door. I am the way, the truth, the light. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Therefore, into the tabernacle there was one door. Those two people are representing the one door. Can I have two more people go down there and stand equidistant in the middle down there? Just stand there. Okay, I want to see, what I want to see here is there were that gate, that door was hung on four pillars. The color of that door, the curtain of that door, had four colors. The four colors of that door and the four posts of that door. The four colors of that door was white and purple and red and blue. Now in the Gospels of the New Testament, we are presented the Lord Jesus Christ, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Four posts, four colors. Purple is Matthew. That's the king. The Lord Jesus Christ as king. Mark is red, the servant who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for all. That's red. In Luke, we have the sinless, perfect man. The one who is the second one. The one who always did the will of God. He was sinless. He was separate from sinners. He was white. In John, we have the Lord Jesus Christ presented as the one from heaven, as the man from heaven. And that color is blue. The heavens are blue. So we have the four colors. And all the colors in the tabernacle were those four colors. Wherever you find a color, you will find those four colors together, whether they're on high priest's garment, on the three veils, no matter where you see that, you will see those four colors, because those four colors represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one way to come to the Father. One must start at the gate. One must come in through the gate. Now, the 45-footer. Okay, you two ladies, fine. You stand sort of right there and you go out 45 feet that way. Okay, now I need a 15-footer. See, I'm getting shorter strings. It's got to be easier from here on in. I need a 15-footer. Okay, out here, we're going to come over here 15 feet. Okay, Michelle will handle those. And, okay, here's your 15 feet. Okay, now I want, stand up there, right sort of straight down the line here. Okay? Now this is the tabernacle itself. This is the building. Go back up and stand opposite the lady in the red. Okay? And straight down here. Okay? So now we have... Yeah, you need to go back a little ways to get back to the... Yeah, okay. Now you're in. Okay. I want this square at least, you know. So anyway, we have here the tabernacle itself. Now I want you to give me the... I'll tell you what. Give me the 15-footer. I want two people. Okay, I want two people. I want you to stand. Hold this for a minute. Okay, I want somebody to stand right here. All right. Now you stand right there. Give me the string. Okay, I'll take the string. And you can hold the string. And I need somebody else to grab the other end of this string. You're going to be opposite this lady right here. That means you're going to have to back up because he's not opposite her. All right. Now, what we have here is the tabernacle itself was divided into two rooms. One was a 15-foot cube. That was the holiest of all. Out here, this was obviously 30 feet by 15 feet. And this is the holy place. Okay, give me the 7.5-footer. Okay, I need four people. Maybe that would be easier. I need four people. Yeah. I want you to come all the way out here. I want you to form a square 7.5 feet each way. One, two. Yeah, you just want to go on back. Okay, go on back. So I'm just forming a square. All right, now. Okay, drop it. Okay, what we have here at the opposite end, at the east end, the first thing you would approach when you came in through the door would be the copper or the bronze or the brazen altar. It was 7.5 feet square. It was 4.5 feet high. It was a dominant part in that counter. We're going to talk about this when we go back in. There was the brazen altar. Now, give me another four people. You four ladies, you just form a circle and hold hands. Yeah. See, the object here is the next thing that you would face would be the laver. The laver had no dimensions. I don't know how big it was. Nobody else does either. So we're going to have those four girls represent the laver. It was directly behind the bronze altar and before you entered into the tabernacle. Now give me three people. Three people. Three people, hurry up. I don't care, give me three. Come on. Come on. Hurry up. Okay. One, two, three. You set yourself right here. This forms the gate that is on the front of the tabernacle. It was on five pillars. And that hung a sheet. And that sheet was made out of four colors. What was the four colors?
White, purple, red, and blue.
White, purple, red, and blue. Excellent. Now, give me four more people. 23 feet by 27 inches. 3 feet by 27, yeah. Yeah, there's two of them in there. Okay, come over here. Okay, that's 27 inches. And I think this is 3 feet. No, this is 27 inches. So that's 3 feet. So you guys get a hold of that. You girls. Okay. You got to come here. And you about right there. Okay. Right inside on this side of, you can bend toward each other if you'd like. Right inside here, there was a table. It was called the table of showbread or the table of the presence. It was 3 feet long. It was 27 inches high and it was 27 inches wide. And on that was the showbread. Now give me one more person. Preferably one that's got six arms. Come here. Alright, stand right here. This man here is going to represent he's going to represent the lampstand. That's why you got to have six arms. But anyway, he's going to represent the lampstand. Again, there are no dimensions given to the lampstand. The dimension was governed by the fact that it was beaten out of one piece of gold that weighed a talent, which was like 60 or 70 pounds. And thus, this talent of gold, when it was beaten into one piece, formed the candlestick. Now, we need 18 by 18. Mm-hmm. I need four more people. Four more people. You're going to have to be close fellowship here. One, two, one more. Come over here to this side. Okay, right here, and you get right here. Okay? We have here, right ahead of this, here we have the golden altar of incense. It was set right in front of the veil. Now, do I have four more people? Okay, we got four people. Give me one. Yeah, I know you're in place. Yeah, you're over.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Okay. We got 45 inches. Thank you, John. We need one more person. No, that's fine. Okay, you're going to be this direction here. Okay. Oh, I turn around. The 4 feet is going this direction. Okay, right here. You guys look this way, and then you're here, and then you're right here. And inside the second veil, right here between John and that's Tim. This is John. Where? There's John. Okay. Tim and Jennifer. Right here, there is this veil. Again, the same four colors. But inside this 15-foot cubicle is the altar, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah!
Right? Now, if I were going to approach God, I have to come in a very straight line. The very first thing I have to do is come in at the gate. The very first thing I see is the brazen altar. And that is the very first way that we approach God. We must pass by the brazen altar. The very next thing I must pass by, and it's still outside the temple, and that is the laver. And I must pass from the brazen altar to the laver. When I come inside the holy place, these two pieces of furniture are very wonderful and we will talk about them. But I am going to go straight into the presence of God. To go straight into the presence of God, I must come to the golden altar. I cannot come into the presence of God without the golden altar. Once I pass the golden altar, I must come inside the veil before I get to the very presence of God. I want to suggest to you today that in fact the way the children of Israel approach their holy God is exactly the way you and I approach a holy God. And we cannot skip any of these steps. I must come in at the gate. I must be at the brazen altar. I must learn the lesson of the laver. I must come in and I must come through the golden altar and through the veil before I get to the presence of God. I come out here into this place and I enjoy the presence of God. This is fellowship. And fellowship must always be based on light. We're going to talk about all of that. But what I wanted you to do this morning in this very first session was to take a look. This is the size. This is essentially what they were looking at, although the gold was probably prettier than anybody out here. But he said, but in reality, this is the way we approach God. And we approach Him the same way today that they approached Him in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Now we're going to break this. We're going to break rank. We can go on inside. I think we can have our first break. We'll come back in, and we're going to talk about these things and give the spiritual import of what we have seen.